Happy Mother's Day to you mothers. Many years ago, when Commandy had just been born, my mother asked me what I got Nina for Mother's Day. My reply was, she's not my mother. And my mom was getting one of those looks, was disapproving, you know, that was like saying, son, you got a lot to learn. You know, yeah, and I did, and I have. You know, but again, we need to honor not only our own mother. Today we want to honor the mothers of our children. We want to honor, again, grandmothers. We want to honor expectant mothers. We want to honor, too, those who have the heart of mothers, but maybe for one reason or another have not been able to have that fulfilled in their life, but they have that heart to be a mom, and they mother children. They love children. Let's just give a sign of our honor to mothers. Appreciate all you do. I've been presenting Mother's Day lessons for a while, about 30 years. And it's difficult at times to think about, well, how do I, you know, this year, honor mothers in a way that's not just like the same way I've always done it, you know, where it's going to be fresh, but also hold on to the deep truths, and the same time, you know, not ever failing to honor God the Father, who has blessed us with mothers. It's a challenge, and I hope that you'll be inspired and encouraged by the lesson today. This will be the first time that I've focused on Mary, the mother of Jesus, on Mother's Day. It may not be the last. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. If you want to use a few Bibles, that's page 1588. You can follow along there. We're going to be looking at some passages from this text. Hopefully, in the process, again, honoring moms, but also recognizing what it is that's so special about mothers who are after God's own heart. This lesson I'm calling Mother of God's Own Choosing. It says in the sixth month of what? What we're looking at here is that Elizabeth, Mary's aunt, is in her second term, near the end of it, her own pregnancy. A miraculous birth as well is about to take place, that God had blessed through Elizabeth and Zechariah to have a child in her old age when she appeared to be, by all accounts, barren. But in that 6 month that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary, it says, was greatly troubled at his words, and she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you said." Then the angel left her. Motherhood for Mary came by divine appointment. She was handpicked to be the mother of God's one and only Son. Why? What made her so special? Well, the text, I believe, reveals that not only was she a young woman full of faith in God, she was one who was willing to be used by God in whatever way He so chose. She could have meant that her whole life was going to change. Even it meant that all the things that she had planned and mapped out in her life were going to be completely different. Now, her conception, of course, was miraculous. She was a virgin. God the Father sent His Holy Spirit to supernaturally impregnate her with His own DNA. Now, if that boggles our minds, how hard it must have been for her to grasp the concept. I mean, we, in our technology today, and our understanding of science, we know about artificial insemination, we know about in vitro fertilization, we know about methods that man has devised to help the process, and sometimes to further the process in ways that would not be what we consider natural. See, we have a little bit more understanding of the physiological idea. But we still are all, are we not, the miracle of life and birth that can come place from a conception that is by God. So she must have really been in awe how hard it must have been again for her to just accept this. Not every woman conceives as God intended. Oh, the process is by His design. A man and a woman become one flesh. And unless something prevents the natural course of things, pregnancy ensues. Psalm 127, verse 3 indicates that every baby is a gift from God. For it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Every child, a gift. Now, some are received prematurely. Sadly, some are received and not even one, let alone welcomed. I assure you, that was never God's desire. It was never His plan. Never His design for that to be the case. Mary certainly leaves us an example of a mother choosing God's will. One who was waiting for the proper time to have a child. She had saved herself for her husband. Scripture indicates that very, very clearly. In fact, Matthew 1:25 tells us that she had no union with Joseph, her fiancé, even as her husband, until after Jesus was born. Still see, God's plan was not for His child to be without a father. That was not God's plan. He planned for there to be a godly man to help raise and support the child. From the beginning, see, it's been His plan for every child to have both a mother and a father. It's His plan. Mary understood that. She understood that. And though Jesus coming as He did, when He did, was certainly not in Mary's plans, nor Joseph's either, for that matter, she had been acting according to God's plan. She had been following His direction and design. She had been doing that. And certainly she was in good hands now. Certainly. Moms, you may not have always been up to this point sensitive to God's plan for you as a mother. But I pray that you realize just how important it is that you do. come to understand how important it is to be sensitive to God's plan for you and for your child. I thank God for mothers who seek His favor. Not just for their own sake, but for the sake of their children. For you mothers who from the very beginning sought to be who God wanted you to be for the children He has blessed you with, we commend you. You are highly favored by God. And by us too. Highly favored. Mary realized motherhood comes with great responsibility. Imagine being entrusted with the nurturing and the raising of God's own son. Just imagine that for a minute. Just this very idea of motherhood being awesome, isn't it? The responsibility, the tremendous responsibility of having a child, this life that's been granted to you, this life that is so dependent upon you. For everything. So dependent. What an awesome responsibility. What an incredible responsibility. What a fearful responsibility in some respects. Talk about pressure, you know, now to know that, well, this is God's one and only Son. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the living God in flesh that I am to raise and nurture. Now, like most first-time mothers, Mary needed some reassurance from someone more mature and perhaps a little bit more experienced. So she went to visit her Aunt Elizabeth, who was near the end of her second trimester, with her first child. A babe, as we've already said, was also a miraculous gift from God. So they have a lot in common. They have a lot in common. And she goes to visit her. As I say, I believe looking for that assurance, that reassurance, that someone who can identify with what she's going through. Not just that she's now pregnant and a first-time mom, but here's someone, again, who has kind of visitation also from God. And has been given some specific direction about God's plan and purpose for her. We read verse 39 of the text. That Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, it says. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Verse 45, she says, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." That last statement speaks volumes. Though Elizabeth is speaking particularly, again, of Mary and pronouncing blessing upon her, for being that woman of faith who trusted God and believed God, Elizabeth is in that category too. She's in that category of someone who believed God against all odds, that something could be really happening, something could be true, and something could be divinely given and granted to her. Wow. So she's in that category. What sets Mary and Elizabeth apart as fitting vessels for God's children, see, is not a perfect life. It's not great spiritual knowledge. It's faith in God and His promises. That's what set them apart. That's what made them so special as vessels within God's blessing. Oh, what a blessing it is. For a mother to trust in the Lord. To believe what He said. And to respond accordingly. What a blessing. Now see, when Mary hears this, when she has this blessing pronounced upon her, it prompted her to burst out into a song of praise. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations can call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Verse 56 tells us Mary stuck around for another 3 months. I don't know whether she stayed until John was born. It would have been the time. But she stuck around and followed him. And then returned home. Mary is such an incredible example of a mother who acknowledges that her child is a blessing from God and praises him. Praises him for it. And also acknowledges the need for a personal Savior. Of course, she didn't fully comprehend all that was going on physically or what would take place in the days to come. But she understood that her child was a blessing. Motherhood was a blessing. And she couldn't have known how much her child would be a blessing, not only to her, but to the world just yet. She would come. Understand that too. Understand that too. Mothers, hopefully you recognize what a blessing your children are. I hope you do. But may I challenge you with a couple of thoughts today? Have you accepted his greater blessing of salvation personally? Recognized the need for it and accepted it? And if you have, do your children know that? Do they hear you praising him for the blessing of being a mother, but also the blessing of knowing a father who cares so deeply for you that he would send his son as he did for a purpose of redeeming you and saving you? Do your children know that? Do they hear you sing those songs of praise? Do they hear you crying? And here's another thing. What if you knew that God intended to bless others through your offspring? What if you had a revelation that God intended to do something so special with the child that he blessed you with that would bless so many others? What if you knew that? You had foresight. Would it affect at all the way you looked upon your child and the way you reared your child and raised your child? Would it? See, Mary had this personal knowledge, did she not, of what God was going to do through her child. Let's just say it was still limited. She still pondered things. She still wondered about things. But even though she was unclear about just how much of a blessing he would be, she knew he was going to be a blessing. He was going to be a blessing. And I want to tell you, mothers, God desires, intends, plans to bless others through your child. And the more that we recognize that, and the more that you submit to that, the more you will see a child developing and fulfilling God's plan and purpose for them. Now, the problem is it's going to require some sacrifice. Surrendering your plans for them in place of God's own for them. Not easy, but necessary. Again, imagine Mary, and the things that she had to deal with and the things that she had to come to grips with as she raised and nurtured God's son. And the more she realized, you know what, I may have ideas for this boy, and I may have plans for this boy, and I may have things I want for this boy, but all of those things need to be sacrificed on the altar for what God wants for this boy, what God plans for this child, what God's going to do with him. While Jesus was still a baby, God sent Mary a message by way of a man named Simeon. It was in the temple during the time of purification. Luke 3:35, he told her, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign to be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts were revealed." And then he said, "And a sword will pierce your soul too." Now, again, I don't know that Mary grasped the full intent of that. But I'm sure she got this much. Being mother to the Messiah was not always going to be a bed of roses. There was going to be worry. There was going to be sorrow. There was going to be grief. There was going to be heartache that she was going to have to deal with in surrendering her son to the will of the Father. Have you ever thought about that? Perhaps many first-time mothers are naive. They think that the precious package from God and all the joy that comes, you know, as a gift, is going to be unwrapped and cherished over the years. Everything's going to be wonderful and beautiful. How many of you mothers realize that there has been some sorrow, some grief, some heartache, some heartbreak, some piercing for your heart and soul in the process? As for the discomfort of carrying life within the womb and the pain of contractions and the delivery, having and raising a child is a process that includes fears and tears. Yet hearing what she heard, Mary did not leave Jesus on the temple steps for someone else to do. She didn't say, you know what, if there's going to be heartache in this, if there's going to be difficulty in this, if there's going to be sacrifice I have to make in this, then I don't want any part of it. From the beginning, what did she say? "I am the Lord's servant, let it be done as you say." I'm so thankful that Mary embraced her call. How about you? And I'm so thankful for mothers who do that yet today. Whether you realize it or not, mothers, when you do that, you portray the unconditional love and sacrifice of God. And we honor mothers who do that. Yet I know not everyone has had mothers who've done that for them. Some children have been discarded or dismissed or discouraged by the ones who God intended to encourage them and nurture them and love them and demonstrate for them God's love. If that's you today, I want to offer the words of Jehovah God to his children. From Isaiah 66, verse 13. They've been through some difficult times. Much of were because of their own choosing. But the Lord says to them, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." And in the context, he was telling them that though they had been driven far from home, they would be brought back. They'd be brought back home. He would comfort them in Jerusalem. I want you to know that you're a son or a daughter of God. who God says, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've felt, experienced, no matter what disappointments or heartaches or heartbreaks you've had, and no matter what you may not have had in life that I intended for you to have, I want you to know that there's something no one can take from you. And there's something that I have for you that no one can keep you from experiencing. Come to me. And that image of him comforting a child as a mother comforts, holding you in his arms, holding you close, protecting, wiping away tears. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 says, he is ready to hold us close, keep us warm and safe. God of all comforts comforts us in our troubles. He's willing to do that. He's willing again to dry away the tears, chase away the tears. He's willing to do that. So as we bless and praise mothers today, we don't want to forget to praise the one who gave them to us and the examples that they've been to us. Once again, if you've not had that, it wasn't God's plan or design for you not to have that experience. And he says, come, let me comfort you. Let me be there for you in this moment of your need. Come to me. I recognize that when we get to this point, every year it seems like I'm more and more aware of it. As I talk to mothers, approaching Mother's Day, many times I talk to people who have a heart, as I said earlier, to be a mom. And for whatever reason, time hasn't taken place. It hasn't. And they have this longing, this heart, to fulfill what they believe God had planned for them. And I can't tell you what God's specific plan is going to be in the future in regard to that, but I know this. He will comfort me today, if you like. He will comfort me, if you like. And if you're someone who today you can't be with a child, you're a mother who can't be with a child because there's something that separated you from it. Maybe there's a rift in the relationship. And you long for them to be close to you. You want to put your arms around them. Because they will allow you to. As a mother comforts your child, God will comfort you today. Or if your child has passed away, and I know mothers that are in that situation, and Mother's Day is not a happy occasion. The grieving hearts are broken. Today, there's a God who will comfort you. Or if you, like many of us, have mothers who passed away, and we can't physically be with them, we still honor. One of the best ways to honor them, I believe, is to remember the love that they did share, the love that they gave us. And thank God. Praise God. Let's pray. Well, God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for mothers. And particularly, Father, those mothers who modeled love, sacrifice, been willing to put aside their plans for the good of their children and for your will. I want to thank you for the example of Mary. I want to thank you for the godly moms that I know in this church. I want to thank you for my own mother. I want to thank you for my wife. For my children, I want to thank you for all the moms. And God, I pray that you who know their hearts, know what they're going through, know what's needed. And Father, you will allow them to experience some joy today. And Father, for those who can celebrate with their kids, God, I just pray that's a wonderful occasion. And Father, it'll be a really refreshing time. For those who can't, God, I just pray for spirit of ministry. And for them to know that you love them dearly, you care for them, and you send Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much, so steadfastly, so completely. In Jesus' name.